Skali Rebbe Shlita on Lag BaOmer. His name is Rav Avraham Moshe Rabinovich from Skalia Shlita. You can go check him out. He's in Borough Park. He's a sweet-looking yid, and he's written probably about 20 or so svarim. So this is his sefer on Lag BaOmer and an upsharon called Drushe Lag BaOmer. Okay, so this is a mimer from Lag BaOmer Tavshin Nun Beis, which would be what year? 1992. Okay, it goes back a couple of years. Okay, let's see. Ma'alas Hashona Pirko Me'a Pam Ve'echad. We begin by discussing the advantage of a person who learns something 101 times. Amr Chazal, a well-known Gemara in Maseches Chagiga on Daf Tes. V'shavtem u're'isem, it's Pasuk in Malachi. V'shavtem u're'isem ben tzadik l'rasha, uvein oved elokim la'asher lo avda. You'll be able to distinguish, the days are coming, says the Navi, when you'll be able to distinguish, Shem will distinguish, and we'll be able to distinguish also, between a tzaddik and a rasha, between one who serves Hashem, between one who doesn't serve Hashem. Tzaddik, rasha, one who serves Hashem, one who doesn't serve Hashem. So the Gemara asks the question, Chagiga daf tasamad beis, isn't that the same thing twice? Meaning tzaddik, rasha, one who serves God, one who doesn't serve God. Why do you need to say both? So the Gemara answers that no. That the truth is the Oved Elokim and the Asher Lo Avdo, the one who serves God and the one who doesn't serve God, are actually both from people, righteous people, relatively righteous people. So why is one of them called someone who serves God and one called someone who doesn't serve God? So the Gemara answers, Bein Oved Elokim, Zeshona Pirko Me'a Pamim Ve'echad, Lilo Avdo, Zeshona Pirko Me'a Pam. The Gemara says that what? That the Oved Elokim and the Asher Lo Avdo, the one who serves God and the one who doesn't serve God, they both serve God. So why is one called not serving God? Because he only learned something 100 times. As opposed to the Oved Elokim, who learns things 101 times. Okay, so Eli correctly points out that Tanya in the 15th chapter gives an explanation to this Gemara. I mean, you call someone, he's not a servant of God because he only learned something 100 times. Halavai, we should review everything we learn 100 times. So you said the one who learns it 101 times, he's mamish and oved elokim. The one who learns it 100 times, shalom avdo, doesn't serve Hashem seriously. So the Tanya says that typically people would study things 100 times. So when you do something 100 times, again, in the context of the Gemara, when you do something 100 times, it means you're doing what everyone else does. Essentially, you're a socially orthodox Jew. Why do you go to shul on Shabbos? Because everyone else goes to shul on Shabbos. What if you lived on an island, right, and there was no one else around? So then maybe I wouldn't go to shul on Shabbos. You'd be the whole shul. You'd be the Baal Kori, you'd be the Chazan. Yeah. Right? So sometimes we do things because that's, you know, it's normal, it's socially acceptable. So Tanya says, a person who learns something 100 times is just, he's not really an Eved Hashem. He's doing, again, he's accomplishing a lot in terms of Halavai, again, we should review our learning 100 times, but he's not doing anything in terms of really serving Hashem. When a person learns 101 times, that extra one that he's doing is an indication that he's doing it because he really feels connected to it in a deep way, in a personal way. That's how the Tanya explains in the 15th chapter. However, here he quotes from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Ubir Adoni Avi Zakeni, my great ancestor, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, explained, quoting the Degel Machan Ephraim in Parshas Vayikra, Sha'akavana ba'omra meya ve'echad, what does it mean to learn something 100 versus 101? Hainu shashona pirko meya pamim im echad yachid umiyuchad HaKadosh Baruch. To me, that var makes a lot of sense. You can't compare a person who learns Torah 100 pages of Gemara without thinking about Hashem to a person who also learns 100 pages of Gemara, but every time he learns, he thinks about Hashem. He doesn't just do it, again, because it's the thing to do. You can't compare a person who does 100 mitzvot to a person who does 101 with awareness of the one above, the Echad, Yachid, Umiyuchad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yemyesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Echad, Bilimuda, if he includes the Echad, if he learns it with the one, namely with Hashem, Hanu Shalomei Torah Lishma, he learns Torah the Hasidic understanding of Lishma is to learn Torah, to be davuk to Hashem, Zehu Oved Elokim. That's a real Eved Hashem. But a person who reviews Shas 100 times, but does so without stopping to think about what it means in terms of his relationship with Hashem, such a person, obviously, it's, on one level, it's a great accomplishment. On the other hand, we say to such a Jew, Lo Avdo, you have not really served the Kadosh Baruch Hu properly. Because you're not learning Torah L'Shem Shemayim. When a person learns 100 times with awareness of Hashem, when you learn 101 times, then the Torah sticks in your mind, and it's never forgotten. Adkan divrei pi chacham chen, adkan the words of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. That's why the Sfarim say that the Hebrew word for forgetting, the shoresh, for the Hebrew word to forget, is shin, chaf, ches. The Hebrew word for remembering, the shoresh, is zayin, chaf, resh. What's the difference in gematria between forgetting and remembering? 100. Shin, chaf, ches is 328. 101. Zayin, chaf, resh is 227. The difference is 101. So the difference between really remembering your, what do you mean remembering your learning? Maybe the guy learns it 100 times and he's got a photographic memory. But to really remember, right, and to connect and to recognize the purpose of learning, a person has to understand the difference between, what he said here, imnecha chalimet heita b'zichrono. A person wants to be zeicher, he wants to have the koach of zikaron, he wants to remember the learning, so then he has to be a 101 type of Jew. But learning to really impact his neshama. Okay. Vinoda asher his spilus hachi gadola shetecha kadavar b'leva adam hi al yedei sherawa hadavar. Everybody knows that if something is going to make a big hashpa on a person, we often think that seeing it is the greatest way for it to make a hashpa on a person. If I told you I was once driving on the highway and I saw a car completely engulfed in flames. So now you heard about that from me. Right? But I actually saw that once. So my understanding of that scene, right, the image that it's left on my mind, the picture of a car completely engulfed in flames, is different when you've seen it with your own eyes than having heard about it from me. You believe it, you can picture it, you can close your eyes and picture it also. But there's a certain hispilus, he says, a certain impression that it makes upon a person on the lave, that it's nechak b'lev, that it's etched into the heart, when a person sees something. As Chazal say in the Yalkut, in the Medrash, Yalkut Shimoni and Yishaya, ayin roe v'lev chomer. Right? If I told you there's a beautiful woman standing in the hall, okay, so maybe you'll have thoughts about her. But if you see a beautiful, right, if you see a beautiful woman, that's the context of this Medrash, ayin roe, and the eye sees something, so then the heart desires it that much more. Right? So when a person sees something, when I see a person who's very wealthy, and they live a life of luxuries, so now all the more so I desire it. I know there's rich people in the world, but when I see it, wow, I want to, it has a hashpa on a person. Seeing something has a tremendous hashpa on a person. V'alderech ze'isa b'sefer HaKadosh L'kutim Maran. So based on this, Rabbi Nachman explains, why is it so important to see tzaddikim? Why can't I just read their books? I told you this. The tzaddik we're learning right now, the Skolli Rebbe, you can go see him. Right? So why will your connection to this piece of Torah we're learning be different if you went and you saw him? When you can attach it to something that you've seen. Right? So Rabbi Nachman explains in Likutei Maharan, in the first section, in Torah Kuf Tzadi Beis, Lavar Hamayla Shel Hashona Pirko Me'epam Be'echad, Shebederech Chlal Hadavar Hagorim Lizikaron Hu Kesheroa Pnei Rabo B'Shah Shehu Lo Merito. Why does a person often remember the Torah that they learned from someone who they're in their presence of, as opposed to listening to a recorded shir? Baruch Hashem, we live in a time where there's an abundance of recorded shirim, and a person should take advantage of those things, right? But why is sitting, with Rav Hershel Schechter and hearing him give a shir different than going online and downloading Rav Schechter's shiur? Why is it different? Why is sitting here in this room with Rav Weinberger, hearing him give us a shiur, different than what? Than going online and listening to his thousands of shiur? So Rabbi Nachman explains, because when a person sees his Rebbe's face, and a person learns directly from the tzaddik, seeing as hashpa. You remember it better. You remember the whole. Close your eyes. You could picture what it was like to be sitting in your seat and to be looking at the tzaddik and to watch how he was giving over the words. So says Rabbi Nachman, an amazing idea. But if you're not with your Rebbe, if you learn 101 times, that also helps you to remember things. Right? We're learning that 101 is shayach to remembering. You remember it better if you do it 101. So I'll ask you a question. What does learning 101 times have to do with seeing? So explains the Skolli Rebbe. Based on the Baal Shem Tov, we understand very well. When I learn with my Rebbe, I'm learning with a person whose Torah is hopefully going to be more impactful by being in their presence. If I can't be in the presence of my Rebbe, so how do I make sure that I'm in the presence of Hashem? I learn it 101 times. I think about the fact, like it says in Pirkei Avos, that when a Jew sits, even by himself, and learns Torah, Hashem is with him. Hashem is with him. Hashem sits at the table with him. So if learning with one's Rebbe helps a person to remember his Torah, so all the more so learning with Hashem, feeling that I'm in the presence of Hashem who is Ein Sof, who's eternal, who always exists, right? That'll help you to remember it. That the Torah ideas you absorb should always exist. They shouldn't be forgotten. When I learn 101 times, like the Baal Shem Tov explained, with Hashem, it's like having a face-to-face encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And obviously that will last that much more. Nimtza, dahalimud l'shem shemayim gorim hachakika b'leiv. So what we're learning here is that when a person learns l'shem shemayim, when a person's Torah is God-driven as opposed to just information-driven, so it makes much more of a hashpa on a person. V'zeh yesh l'ramiz b'kriyas yom zeh lag ba'omer. So now we come to Rishon Bar Yochai, who, if you remember, yesterday we learned a very challenging line from the Zohar. What was the challenging line we learned from the Zohar yesterday? The Zohar said on the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, Yeira'eh kol zachurcha es p'nei ha'adon Hashem, that on the Shlosh Regalim a person has to come to have a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. What was the Zohar's explanation of what does it mean? Man p'nei adon Hashem. Who is the face? Who is the face of your master Hashem? So we said, what do you mean? Who's the face of Hashem? Hashem is the face of Hashem. And the Zohar said, no, do Rashmi. This is Rashmi. What does that mean? Now he understands very, very well. Because any time you learn with a Rebbe, it has a hashpana person. And when you learn with Hashem, it has a hashpana person. Who was the Rebbe who taught us, sort of the derech of the Baal Shem Tov, that when I learn Torah, I have to make it a face-to-face encounter with Hashem? That was Rishon Bar Yochai. So man p'nei adon Hashem, who told us that learning is not just about amassing Jewish facts, but it's about having a face-to-face encounter with God. That is Rishon Bar Yochai. So therefore, look what he says. He says, simple remez. He says, Lag Ba'omer. Of course, the way we refer to this day, Lag Ba'omer, Lamed Gimel, he says, Lamed Gimel is the same gematria as Lev Aleph. What does that mean, Lev Aleph? Perish. Al Yedei Shemachavin B'Toraso L'Shem Aleph. That when I bring the Aleph, the Alufo Shel Olam, the Master of the World, when I bring the one and only one, Echad Yachin U'Miyuchad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into my learning, That causes my heart to be changed. Otherwise, the words just pass over me in one ear, out the other ear. Shichacha, forgetfulness. So much of the Torah of Pnimius HaTorah, which Rishon was megalah to the world, is a restoration and a giloy of what? Of the original ore of creation. Vayera Elokim es ha'or ki tov, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid that original light. There's a certain type of Torah that when a person learns it, you don't forget. So for example, those words that we heard at Har Sinai directly from Hashem are never forgotten. The Medrash says in Shir HaShirim, it was etched into our hearts. The original Luchos, before they were shattered, We were supposed to be able to learn Torah and never forget it. The second luchos, which we got from Moshe, more so than from Hashem, is the type of Torah that we forget. But when Torah is learned directly from Hashem, we don't forget it. So when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai comes and he reawakens the original Or, the Or HaGanuz, the original light of creation, that's the type of Torah that you don't forget. That's why when you learn a really deep idea, it's easier to remember than if you just, you know, stam, you learn Pashup Shad in the Mishnah. Stam, you open up Mishnah Yisbam Mitzia and you learn a Mishnah, right? Okay, if you chazer it, you'll remember it, right? If you find a way to connect that Mishnah to Hashem, so you'll remember it. Right? If you review it a lot of times, maybe you'll remember it. But when you learn like a deep pnimius dika idea, right, it's like it's almost more naturally it attaches itself to your heart. Because again, that original light was a light that's connected to the koch of zikaron, of remembering, of being in the presence of Hashem. As opposed to what? As opposed to what we said. When a person forgets, the difference between Zayin Chaf Resh, right, and Shin Chaf Ches, of being Shochach and being Zoicher, the difference between them is 101. That's why the letters of Shochach, of forgetting, are the same letters as Choshech. Right? As opposed to this Torah, which is a Torah of Or, if Choshech, dark Torah, is connected to forgetfulness, then obviously very illuminated Torah, like the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, like the Torah of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, like the other student of Rabbi Akiva. Who was the other student of Rabbi Akiva? Besides Rabbi Shimon. Yeah. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, whose whole name is Meir. His name is also Nahorai, the illuminated one. In Rabbi Meir's Torah, it said about Adam and Chava that they were given garments of Or with an Aleph, not Or with an Ayin, garments of light. It was a base medrash that was very illuminated. The lights were always on in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir. So again, when you come to Lag BaOmer, it's a day where, because of our awareness of the Aleph, the Torah has a hashpa on the Lev. That's why he says Lag is Lev Aleph. That the Lev is impacted when one lives with an awareness of the Aleph. What did I want to say? Something else I wanted to add. Or Haganus. I don't know. Lev Aleph is Sanhedrin, almost as a mission statement of Kol HaTorah Kula, Rachmana Liba. Rachmana Liba Bai. Rachmana means the merciful one, Hashem. Liba Bai, desires our hearts. And Liba is spelled like this, Lamed Bez Aleph. There's a lot to connect there to Rabbi Shimon, again, because Rabbi Shimon very much is the one who brings us to the Torah of the Lev. Rachmana Liba Bai. The Sfarim say, what's the Rosh Tevos of Rachmana Liba Bai? Resh Lamed Beis, which is 232. Resh Lamed Beis, Rachmana Liba Bai, 232. What's 232? So first of all, 232 is the name Yudke Vavke. If you spell it out, if you expand it in the four miluye havaya, right? Absag ma ban, or absag ma ben. If you spell out yud, hey, and vav, and hey, if you spell out the letters, there's four different primary ways to spell it out, right? And the gematria of those spelled out names of yud, kei, vav, kei are 72, 63, 45, and 52. Absag ma ben, that's gematria 232. Rachmana liba bai. Reish Lamed Beis. More than that, when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai passed away, what word did he die on?
Simcha.
Not Simcha. When Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai passed away, so the Zohar tells us, in the Idra Zuta, and it tells us about the Histalkus of Rabbi Shimon, he was saying a pasuk at Tehillim. Here it is. Kisham tziva Hashem es habracha chayim ad olam. Yeah, the Zohar tells us when Rishon passed away, it's Tehillim. I'm just trying to look up where it is. It's Tehillim Kuf Lamed Gimel. Yeah, Tehillim Kuf Lamed Gimel. When Rishon passed away, the Zohar says that he was saying the pasuk Kisham Siva Hashem Es Habracha, and he died on the word Habracha. He wanted to finish the pasuk Chayim Ad Ha'olam. But he died in the words Kisham Tziv Hashem as Habracha. What's the matter of Habracha? 232. Right, so the word that Rishon Baruch Hai died on is 232, which is again the gematria of the four names of Hashem expanded, which is a very significant number. It's the gematria of Habracha. It's the Rashi Tevos of the mission statement of Torah. Again, as we're learning now, Rachmana Liba Bai. And Liba, Lamed Beis Aleph, we're saying is Gematria Lag, is Lag Boma. And the way that the Skolli Rebbe is learning it is that we try to take the Aleph, that awareness of Hashem, and bring it into our hearts. Well, that's what I wanted to tell you before. The purpose of the Luchos, the whole purpose of the Luchos, and the Luchos have a lot to do. The Luchos actually have a lot to do with Lag Boma. I'm not going to go into it now. The Suchina Rebbe once gave a shir at Ish Kodesh. It's online. It's an amazing shir about it. But the purpose of the Luchos is not to have Luchos in the Aron. The same way the purpose of your Gemara is not that it should sit on your shelf. Right? The Svarim on our shelves should be what? Should be placed in our hearts. That's what the Navi says. The goal of the Luchos is what? Is to be Choykek Aluchos Libecha. Kosveim Aluach Libecha, the Pasuk says. Write them or etch them upon the Luach of the heart. On the tablets of the heart. That's where the Torah is supposed to be stored. Not on the luchos, not on the shelf. And again, this is the type of Torah that's able to enter the heart. Okay? I'll just give you one more nice remez, a fresh remez, while we're talking about 232. We said, and it connects beautifully to what we're learning now, we said, again, that line from the Zohar yesterday, Yera'eh kol zechurcha es p'nei Adon Hashem, man p'nei Adon Hashem, who is p'nei Adon Hashem? So we said, dot Rashbi. Yeah? So what's the gematria of p'nei Adon Hashem? How much is Pnei?
140.
Pnei is 140. How much is Ha'adon? Let's see if I get this right. 66. Yeah? 66 or no?
Yeah.
66. So 140 and 66. And how much is Hashem? Is 26. So what's 140?
Is Ha'adon?
Ha'adon. I'm seeing 66. And how much is Hashem? 26. So what's 140 plus 66 plus 26?
232.
232. Wow. So Pnei Ha'adon Hashem is also 232. That's the word that Rishon Baruch Hai died on. Ha'bracha. Gematria 232. Rashi Tevos Rachmana Liba Bai. Right? Liba. Lag. It's all the same thing. Now, I will be honest about this remez. It's important for a Jew to be honest. The way that Adon is actually, Ha'adon is spelled in the Torah is without the Vav. Okay? Which would actually make it 226. Okay? Okay. But again, the Tzadikim, Rav Moshe Wolfson, and many Tzadikim do that. Like, they'll spell it the way that it's, we would think to spell, even if the Torah spells it Chaser, spells Ha'adon without the Vav. It's reasonable to spell it with the Vav, and I think because it fits so nicely, I think it's reasonable. Like, meaning in the Sefer here, where the Pasuk's printed, it spells it with the Vav. If you didn't know better, you wouldn't realize, you would expect the Torah to spell Adon, Aleph, Dalet, Vav, Nun. It actually spells it Aleph, Dalet, Nun. Okay. But again, I think it's Tzadikim bring Ramazan like that, and I think it fits very nicely here. Okay, let's keep going. Yeah, Yehior. Oh yeah, of course. Yehior is 232. Right, which is also the whole point here. Right, very good, Nani. Thank you for... There's more 232s also. I was going to stop there, but no, that one you have to say. Yeah, Yehior, that's the whole point. Right? This is the Aleph, this is the Or. The restoration of the Or, absolutely. Okay, so the word Rishon Baruch Hai died on, the four Miluyeh Havaya, Rachmana Liba Bais, Rashi Tevos, as this far I'm bringing, Yehior, yeah, it's Pnei Adon Hashem, it's Mamish, beautiful Ramazan. Okay, let's keep going. Malas Hanaviyim v'Hagilei Rishon Baruch Hai. So now we're going to learn something beautiful. Think about this. We were talking about how seeing is sort of believing on a certain level, right? When we see something, we internalize it in a different way. Now, Ula Yesh Lahavin Lefi Zeh Hagilei Hanifla V'or habayir shalatana ha'aloki Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So now let's go further and try to understand the illumination of Rashbi. Rashbi is called an or mufla, a wondrous light. We call it in the Bar Yochai song, we say, Bar Yochai, right? You're an or mufla. Or mufla is gematria Mashiach, is the light of the future. Amish, the light of the future. He's called Butzina de Kadisha. Holy, Butzina means a lamp. Right? Rishon Baruch Hu, you illuminate the pathways for us. Your Mamish, the one who gives us perspective, he teaches us how to see. But he teaches us how to see in an amazing way. Let's find out. Nagdimah de'isa b'sefer HaKadosh darach mitzvosecha, davar nifla ma'od. Dematzinu b'zahar HaKadosh v'kisvei Ariza. Shemitarim olamos ha'elyonim, va'afilu olam ha'atzilus, va'olamos shelefnei ha'tzimtzum, ma'ashashum ayin lo ra'asa. Listen to this. Says the Derech Mitzvosecha, when we look in the writings of the Zohar, we look in the writings of the Arizal, we find descriptions of worlds completely, completely beyond. Olamos Elyonim, Atzilus, worlds prior to the contraction of Hashem's light. So I'll ask a simple question. No eye has ever seen these worlds. How do you describe something? How do you put into words something that we don't believe anyone's ever seen? The Nevi'im, when they describe higher realms, they describe the world of Yetzira, they describe the world of Bria. There are four Olamos. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Right? So the Nevi'im only describe as high as what? As Bria. They don't go beyond Bria. All of a sudden, you open up the Zohar and the Kisvei Arizal, and it's going like into worlds that are completely beyond, Atzilus and beyond. Atzilus of Eitzel, the shorish of the word Atzilus, Aleph, Tzadi, Lamed. How much? 121. Tzadi is 90. All right. Oh, fine, we'll save this Remez. There's a Remez, this teaching says on the Aleph Tzadi Lamed, Beis Reish Aleph, Yud Tzadi Reish, Ayin Sin Hey, the Shorish of the four worlds. All right, let's leave it for now. Yeah? But there's a world called Atzilus. Eitzel means near, close to. Right? Close to. Close to Hashem. It's too close to Hashem to even talk about. So, says the Derech Mitzvosech, I don't understand. In Tanakh, the Nevi'im, the prophets, only went so high. So you're telling me what? Now the Zohar and the Kisvei Arizal, are they on a higher level than prophets? V'tzarech bir, the mashma shalo hayu lahanavim eza maila b'nevuasam. Mashalo hisigu, turn the page, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai v'chaverov. V'adarabba, nirash Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai v'arizal hisigu yosur me'anavim. Are we prepared to say such a thing? Are we ready to say that the Arizal who lived about 500 years ago, 450 years ago, we're going to say that the Arizal reached higher levels than what? Than the prophets? Than Yeshaya, than Yirmiyah, than Yechezkel? Yeah, ready to say that? V'teiretz sheyesh b'zeh beiz b'chinos. So answers the Derech Mitzvosecha in his Maimer Chametz U'Matzah. He says, perhaps we could explain as follows. There's something called Harishon Yediyas HaMetzius V'Hasheni Hasagas HaMahus. How would you translate that? Yediyas hametzius, knowledge of existence, awareness of existence. And then there's something called hasagas hamahus, grasping the essence of something. Okay, what does that mean? Vispilus halev shemis orer lisragish basagas hamahus, hu dafka bekoach hari'ya, shiroim hadavar uvechein masigim uhuso shodavar. It's very hard to grasp the essence of something if I've never seen it. So if I try to describe something to you, and you just hear about it, so you may be able to what? To understand it conceptually. You have a yediyas hametzias. You know that it exists because I'm telling you it exists, and you trust me. But you don't really have, there's a certain lack of ability to grasp the essence of it, because you've never had a full-on encounter with it. V'zeu haflagas hanavim, yan shiro mashenivu b'mara zochu lasagas hamahus. Nevi'im, who the Navi tells us was originally called a roeh, Right? Neviim is Lashon of Nivsvasayim, a spokesman. We call them Neviim because they relayed messages. But the Navi itself writes in Sefer Shmuel that what we call the Navi, Lifnim, in earlier times was called the Roeh. Neviim were primarily seers. And because they saw things, they were able to what? They were able to grasp in a certain way, a certain essential understanding of something. Aval al yedei hisbonus hasichli, yefshar lahagia kim liyedias hametzias, ach lo lahasagas mehusal shel davar. But when I understand something, when I explain an idea to you, when I describe something to you that you've never experienced firsthand, you can grasp some type of awareness of its existence, but you can't internalize the essence of it. You're not able to grasp the mehusal shel davar. Uvechein ha-neviim shezachu liros nevuasam ba'ofen shal chizayon. So the neviim who had visions, right? Chazon Yishayahu ben Amot, like we read, Shabbos Chazon. Visions, the visions of the prophets. Lo rak b'hasaga sichli. Again, it wasn't that the prophets, their minds were able to grasp more than regular people. The prophets saw things. Zachu la'hasagas ha-mahus b'nyanim ruchniim shirao. They were able to see things that we would consider non-tangible, non-seeable, and they saw it. They had a ability to see ruchnius, similar to the Jews standing at Har Sinai, where they were roim esakolos. They saw sound. What does it mean? Have you ever seen sound? You can't see sound, but it was an ability to train their eyes to see something spiritual. Uvhagadas nivuasam masaro sahar gashal meyisrael. When they would share that, what they saw, when they would now relay it to us. They would speak it over to us. They would give over a little bit of an hergish, some of the feeling of what they experienced. And they were able to give it over in such a way that it was almost as if we too could grasp the essence of it. By internalizing the word of the Navi, their seeing was almost transferable to us. Okay? Ad kan dvarim kadoshim, ayin sham. So now, ve'efsher shezeh ha'yahagiloi v'achidish shal Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So now let's think, so what was Rabbi Shimon? What were the Arizal doing? They also saw things, but they weren't prophets. We don't look at them as prophets. So what do we look at them as? The Hagam Shuhu Lo Zacha La Sagas Hamahus Shezachu Ilah Neviim. It's true, they didn't see things the way the Neviim saw things. Aval Paul Asher Al Yidei Hisbonelus Besod HaSatara. But they were able to what? To grasp things by meditating on certain things. They were able to grasp things through their minds and their hearts, and they were able niten lahagia lispailus halev keilu hayarava oso enim. Now that's an interesting thing. To be able to see something that you haven't seen is very interesting. The Neviim saw, and therefore they understood in a certain way. Rabbi Shimon and the Arizal created a certain type of ability to see something or to internalize something keilu you saw it, even though you haven't seen it. So the Neviim who actually saw, they said, we can't talk about Atzilus, we can't talk about worlds that are too far beyond, because Ayin lo rasa elokim zu asecha, as the Navi says, no eye has seen it besides you, Hashem. Rashbi and the Arizal, right, the Giluyim of Pnimiya Satora, that these Sadiqim revealed to the world, gave us the ability to grasp and to see and to internalize the essence of something. Ki'ilu I saw it, even though I didn't see it. That's a very deep idea. Now, it's going to take some clarification, so let's keep going. Yeah?
Their handicap kind of made them able to perceive better.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly what he's getting to. Right? Is the inability to see something physically, does that help me to see it more? Think about the fact that we cover our eyes every time we say Shema. I want to get to know you, Hashem. I want to be Mekabel Omachus Shemaim. I want to attach myself to you in the deepest way. Maybe not seeing will help me to see even better. Okay, the Zvuv has arrived. We're under attack. Okay, the Gemara says that the Yitzhara is doyma l'Zvuv. It's Dafka, it's a Shoshana fly, right? For those who remember the Maisa. Yeah, Amalek's compared to the Zvuv. Okay, and Amalek very much wants to block this Gilei. Yeah, there's a lot to do with 100 and 101. Also, the Torah, at the beginning of the Torah, it says, Bereishis Bara Elokim, it's Shemayim V'Sarets. So the Medrash says, Tohu is Bavel, Bohu is Madai, Choshech is Yavan. Tahom is Edom. Those are the four exiles of history. Right? But the Medrash doesn't darshan the words Al Panei. So we've said in the past, Al Panei is Gematria Malik. Right? Now why is Al Panei Gematria Malik? And how's it connected? Because we're learning about Man Panei Adon Hashem. We're learning about having a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. Right? Al Panei. So Al Panei is Gematria Malik. Malik is compared to a fly. That's why a fly is trying to disturb us from learning the Torah of Rishon Baruch Hai, which is Pnei Adon Hashem. It's Al Pnei is Gematria Malik. No? Yeah, what do you want to say?
How do we even find Al Pnei by Ruach Elokim Merachefes
Al? Yeah, Al Pnei Hamayim, right. The Ruach Elokim is Merachefes Al Pnei Hamayim. It's a Malik trying to block out. The Medrash says Ruach Elokim is the Ruach Shamashiach, Ruach Shamashiach. So a Malik tries to stop these final Giluyim. Right? That's why Zvuv, the Sfarim say, Rav Shimshon Yastropoli says, that Zvuv, a Malik is compared to a Zvuv, compared to a fly. Right? And that's why Zvuv, I think we said this Purim time, that Zvuv is the Rashi Tevos of the phrase at the end of Beshalach, when we're told to remember what a Malik did to us. Remember what a Malik did to you. We're talking about remembering here, not forgetting. So what does it say? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Kisov Zos Zikaron Basefer V'Simba Azne Yoshua. Right, write this remembrance down in the book, and recite it into the ears of Yoshua. Yeah, so the Shimshon Yastropoli and other tzaddikim say, Zos Zikaron Basefer V'Sim, is Rashi Teva Zvuv. Zos Zikaron Basefer V'Sim V'Azne Yoshua. Right, is Rashi Teva Zvuv. Or you could say Zikaron Basefer V'Sim V'Azne. Is Rashi Teva Zvuv. Okay, so anyway, so Malik tries to stop us from remembering Hashem and from having a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. Okay?
There's a story about a fly that lives in Malik Malach.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was in the cave, and I mean, he would spend his time learning before he was a Rebbe in the cave by Rabbi Rav Dami.
Okay.
And one time he had some question on something in Shabbos that he couldn't figure it out.
Okay.
And
a fly landed on the sefer?
Yeah. And
wow.
He thought it was special because there aren't any flies in that cave.
Uh-huh.
He went there, there weren't any flies there, and he had never seen a fly in the cave before. And then suddenly
I hear like a fly.
Pages turn and a fly lands, walks down to a certain place.
And it answers his question.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe this fly is coming to help us. I was so quick to not be malamed tzchus on the fly. I labeled it as a malik, and I called it sitra achar. Okay, sorry. I apologize. Okay, good. So Eli said, sometimes not seeing helps you to see more. Good. So let's see that idea. V'zeo di'isa b'shem Zohar kadosh, leis machshava tfisa be'klal. The Zohar says what? No mind can grasp you at all. The mind can't grasp Hashem. However, aval, re'usa deliba tfisa be. The mind can't grasp, right? But the heart maybe can grasp. There are things the mind can't grasp, but the heart can grasp. The mind is a place of seeing. Chacham einav barosho. There's an eye, there's the mind's eye. We use the expression, the mind's eye. There's a certain seeing that takes place with the mind. There's a different type of seeing that takes place with the heart. Again, we said lag bom, or lag is lev aleph. Rachmana liba bai, Hashem desires the heart. So in a certain sense, we're able to see things with the heart that we can't see with the mind or with the eyes. Shebra'usa deliba shayach lizakos la'osa hargasha amuka ki'ilu hayaro'oso. You can see things with the heart and internalize things ki'ilu you saw it, but you're reaching to a place where if you were trying to see with your mind or trying to see with your eyes, you wouldn't be able to see anything. So in other words, a Rishimon is a type of seeing that's not so much associated with seeing, but maybe a type of what? A type of seeing that's associated with hearing. Let's come back to his name, Shimon, like we learned about yesterday. From what? From the Tolner Rebbe. V'lachei nikra Shimon Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. So he says in the bottom of the right-hand column, L'rameis da'afal pi sha'osan dvarim v'inyanim lo nimsru ki im al yedei shmiya l'chud. Even though Rabbi Shimon's teachings, right? Now, what's ironic is the Zohar always uses the expression, come and see. As opposed to the Gemara, which says, Toshma, come and hear. But we're learning that there's a type of hearing that's even higher. So when we cover our eyes and we say Shema Yisrael, that's the greatest 6 words we say every day. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the greatest thing we say every day. That's the deepest thing that we know. That pasuk. No? We cover our eyes and we awaken the koach of Shmia. And through that we have a what? A vision of Hashem that's much more than trying to see God with our eyes open. Yeah? Dafka, when Rishon Bar Yochai passes away as he's leaving this world, he's giving over these secrets of the Torah. So therefore, through the koach of Shmia, by the way, we mentioned yesterday that Shevet Shimon corresponds to the month of Av, right? If you remember, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, the fifth month, which we connected to Hod yesterday, which is Rishon Shimon, Hod Shebahod. So the fifth month, Chodesh Av, corresponds to Shevet Shimon, based on the way that they camped when they traveled. And we know that every month, according to the Sefer Yetzirah, has an action that's associated with it. For example, the action for the month of Nisan is Sicha, is speech, Pesach. The action for the month of Iyar that we're in is what? Is Hirhor, is thinking. Okay? Elul is Asiya, is doing. Yeah. Chodesh Adar is laughter. What is the action for the month of Tammuz? Re'iyah. What is the action for the month of Av? Shmia. So the month that corresponds to Shimon, right, is also the month that corresponds to Shmia. And after all, isn't that exactly why Shimon was named Shimon in the Torah? What does Leah say? Hashem has what? Has heard. Hashem has heard my cries. So Shimon Bar Yochai, the way that the Skolia Rebbe Shlit is explaining it, Sha'ayin lo rasa, top of the left column, second line, you would think if you didn't see it, it's on a lower level. But Shimon Bar Yochai means the ability of what? That through the koach of Shmia, Bar Yochai. Yochai, of course, is the lashon of what? Of Chiyus. Who is Shpia Letochan Chiyus. Shiash Iru Roishem Belev Ki'ilu Hayaroasa. To leave a mark. It's so alive, the teachings of Rabbi Shimon, even though he's talking about things that no human eye has ever seen. And that's why the prophets themselves didn't talk about it. But he's able to have such a deep hashpa on us that ki'ilu, what my mind can't see, what my eyes can't see, my heart can see. Of course, that's why what day of Iyar is Lag Ba'Omer?
18th.
The 18th, Chai. Chai Iyar. Chai Iyar is the day of Lag Ba'Omer, because Lag Ba'Omer, again, is this unbelievable injection of chiyus into the life of a person. Okay. So perhaps we can even further suggest the kasher roim is a davar. When we see something, is what Eli said a second ago. Hinei adavar mugbal kafi ro'os hamabit ba. But I see something, so it's limited by my ability to grasp and to see. Right? Depends on my vision. Depends how far away I'm standing from it. Depends if I see it from all sides or if I just see it from one side. Uvahad da'amru leis machshava tfisa beklal verusa deliba tfisa be. When we said that the mind can't grasp certain things, but the Zohar says the heart can grasp it, when I grasp something again, through the essence of it, when I define it, when I see this bottle and I understand all the contours of it, and I understand what's written on it, and I understand where it was produced, and I understand the colors, and I understand the shape, and I understand what's contained within it, I have a very good grasp of the bottle. Yeah? But now, because I think I fully get it, that itself is limiting. When Rishimon talks about things that we know we can't fully grasp, in a certain sense, knowing that I can't fully grasp it actually gives me a greater appreciation of the inyan. Again, the more I think I understand it, right, the more limited in a certain sense I am. The fact that I study this bottle, I say, yeah, I know everything there is to know about this bottle. Until, of course, I call up the Coca-Cola company, and they start telling me all these things about this bottle that I never knew about this bottle. Right? All sorts of sodas, secrets of the bottle. So because I was trapped in my physical perception of the bottle, I thought I understood everything there is to know about it. Right. But had someone told me about the bottle, and had I not seen it, I would have for sure understood that I don't have the full picture. And knowing that I don't have the full picture, in fact, gives me a bigger grasp. It's a little bit counterintuitive, but it's a very deep idea. Okay? Let's go just a step further. The bottom left-hand paragraph. Giloi sodos ha-Torah b'chinas mafli lasos. Okay? Uvesfar ha-Kadoshim, in the Zohar, we find further. L'seis tam l'shvach shenikra yom lag ba'omer hilula derashmi. Shehilula perusha simchas nisuin. We call the art of the Rishon Bar Yochai, we call his celebration the Hilula de Rashbi. Hilula literally means a wedding. Rishon Bar Yochai's wedding. The wedding of Rashbi. What does that mean, the wedding of Rashbi? V'tzorach bi'ur madua mesiaches yom istalkuso shor Rishon Bar Yochai l'chasana. Why is the petira, the art of the Rishon Bar Yochai, called the chasana? The chasana of Rashbi. Anyone? Any thoughts?
One with
Hashem. Okay, so Yichud, oneness, marriage, Chasan and Kala, two halves coming back to a clarity that Be'etzem were really one. That your half of your neshama and my half my neshama. Okay, good shot. Yeah, what else?
Maybe it's the next Giloy since Matan Torah, which is awesome.
Okay, good. So this is the original wedding was Kabbalah Torah at Har Sinai. Very good. And the death of Rashbi is another wedding. In the sense that it's another Kabbalah Sator, Gvaldik, beautiful pshat. Elisha Adam, hu bal gvul. So he answers, he says, a person, again, is of limited faculties. Gvul means the boundaries. We're limited. Ulechora, and therefore it's a pella. Eich yachola Adam shu bal gvul, lahamid toldos, shetielem kiyum, vahamada afla achar, shachalaf v'avar min olam. A fascinating question to think about. How is it possible, yeah? To create something that can live on beyond you. If you're the source of that life, so how could something live on after you've moved on, after you've passed away? So, again, Lamashal, right? My grandfather passed away last year. My mother's still alive. How is that possible? How is it possible that the one who created, right, is no longer, but the creation continues to live on? Now again, there's part of us that says it's funny, it's not a question at all. They're two separate entities. Right? But it's a very deep idea. It's a very, very deep idea. How is it possible for me to be responsible for something, the existence of something, when I myself no longer exist? It's a deep question. V'nimsa shekocho chai v'kayim la'ad ulolam. So that means, if you take it kind of to an extreme, right? That means my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, in a certain sense, lives on. Right? Because his son was a continuation of him, and his son was a continuation of him. So that means my existence right now is still the work of some ancestor who passed away 1,000 years ago. So in a certain sense, when we die, we never really die. Right? That's why the Gemara says, it's very sad, we'll learn it next year, it's Maseches Avodah Zarah, which we're learning next year, Meretz Hashem. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that a person who unfortunately is not blessed with children is like one who's dead. A person who doesn't have children is like one who's dead. Right? Because without having children, they're not able to continue to live on after they die. Even there, it's chashuv kimeis, it's like a dead, because death by a Jew itself is not even death. Even after we die, the way that it's understood al pipnimius is that we're just going into a very deep sleep. Which is why tchias ha-meisim, right? The resurrection, Tchias HaMeisim, is a restoration of life that never really ended. It's a Giloy Milsa, it's a revelation that when I looked like I was dead, I wasn't actually dead, I was just sleeping. That's why there's a little bone, right, that stays, so to speak, alive, whatever that means, the Luz bone. It stays alive even after a person passes away, from which Tchias HaMeisim takes place. So a person who doesn't have children looks more dead than a person who can answer this question of living on after they've passed away. Very, very deep idea. Kit l'toldos of you old toldos arin chir ve'in ketzu bilti gvul. Right? Because one person has children, who has children, who has children, who has children. So the one who's long gone is still living on, mamish, in a very literal biological sense, is living on through their descendants. Turn the page. V'harei ha'amadas toldos hu davar shiyotze legami migvulei adam. So how do you have something which is, again, sort of beyond the person, right? And yet connected to that person. V'zeh be'etzem she'akadosh baruch hu markiv guf v'neshama, she'yischab riyachad. Says the Scholar Rebbe, I'll ask you another wondrous thing. And we know it's wondrous. Every time we go to the bathroom, we acknowledge that it's wondrous. How do the body and the soul live together? How do they coexist? What's a bigger shaila? That a man and a woman can live together, even though they're so radically different? Or that the body and the soul can live together? They're both big chidushim. A wedding's a big chiddush, no? It's a big chiddush. Mars and Venus, you know? Men and women, body and soul. Hashem and human beings. It's all the same wonderment. Being dead and being alive at the same time. Rish Shimon, as he's dying, he's giving over the most alive Torah. What does that mean? Chai Iyar, Yud Ches Iyar is Lag Ba'omer. Chiyas, Rish Shimon Bar Yochai, Yochai means alive. And through a Shmiah, not even through a Re'iyah. You can go deeper with Shmiah than you can with Re'iyah. Shimon, what does all this mean? It seems all to be a stira minei ube. It seems to be a complete contradiction. Harehu lapela kihem beis hafachim gemurim. Body and soul are mamish opposites. V'kadosh baruch hu hamafi lasos laharchiv shneim yachad. And yet Hashem, in some wondrous way, puts them together. Like the Shulchan Aruch describes when it explains the bracha of what? Al asher yatzar. Rofecho basar mafli lasos. It's a pella. But a person who understands that Hashem can do things which are mafli lasos, wondrous things, peladika things, Hashem is not, Pella is not out of reach when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pella, the same letters as Aleph. It's that same Aleph we started with. Pella, it's a wondrous thing. It's a stira minei obey. Why are you revealing the deepest Torahs to the final generation? Why is Lag BaOmer getting stronger and stronger every year? Why are more high school kids showing up at Rav Weinberger's, you know, Lag BaOmer event every year to celebrate Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai? What do a bunch of high school kids have to do with the Torah of Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai? What do we have to do with the Torah of Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai? The tzaddikim would say, what do we have to do with the Torah of Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai? Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz, you know what he used to do in Lag BaOmer? He quotes it a few times in this sefer from the Scholar Rebbe. Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz used to take the Zohar on Lag BaOmer. It's a beautiful line. I shall read you the Lashon. Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz would take a Zohar on Lag BaOmer, and he would place it on his heart. He'd hold it over his chest, and he would say in Yiddish, Ich ken dir und du kennst mir. Which means what? I know you and you know me. I know you and you know me. What was he saying? Right? He was saying, the Zohar, I know you. Who knows the Zohar? We don't know. No one knows the Zohar. I'm sure Rav Baruch Medrash also, I don't really know the Zohar. Right? But there's a type of knowing that I get when I study this type of Torah that is the deepest knowing. Even though I know it the less, in a certain sense I understand it less than anything else. It's the deepest Torah. But I feel I have a place by it, even more so than I have a place by revealed Torah. And Zohar, you know me better than anyone else. You know me, and I know you in a way. It's a secret. It's a sod. Right? So it's a Pella. Pella is Aleph. It's a wondrous thing. It's beyond. It's an akuda, which is Lamala Me'agofa Lamala Me'anishama. It's a Pella Elyon. It's something that's what? That's completely beyond. V'hi ha-mechabram u-mahad kam yachtav. There's some wondrous koach that holds together. Ma'afli la'asos. Hashem, you do a wondrous thing. There's openings in my body, and yet my neshama somehow stays in. That's what ma'afli la'asos is about. That's what Asher Yatzar is about. Nikavim, nikavim. Chalulim, chalulim. I have organs that are sealed. I have organs that are open. If they were reversed, if those that are supposed to be sealed were open, and those that were supposed to be open were sealed, my body would cease to exist. You can break my body in a moment, like we say in Asher Yatzar. So when a person has children, and he creates a replica of himself outside of himself, to such a degree that when he dies, that child can still live independently, it's a pella. It's a wondrous thing. It's something that goes completely beyond boundaries. So that means, again, your ancestor who died 3,000 years ago, right, lives on inside of you in the most wondrous way. So now we understand why it's called the wedding of Rishon Bar Yochai. When Rishon Bar Yochai revealed the secrets of the Torah, what was he revealing? He was revealing the soul of Klal Yisrael. He's revealing not just the body of Torah, he's revealing the soul of Torah. Uvitarasa gila hanakuda nefla halaz, vizehiv tiach kiyum hemshech tarasa arolam, vahareza kihilula, shal yadam amidim doros yesharam arolam. The wedding is the beginning of what? Of a process of bringing together completely different kochos, again, zachar and nekeva, male and female, bringing them together to create a oneness, like some of you suggested, which will now have the ability to what? To produce children, which is the biggest pella. Bar Yochai, we call him Bar Yochai. I told you once, the question the Munkacher asks. The Munkacher said, why do you call him Bar Yochai? It's disrespectful. He's the son of Yochai, why are you just calling him the son of someone else? Is he not his own person? But saying that he's the son of someone is a big chiddush. Having a child, being able to exist, the fact that we can exist now, independent from our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, that's a pella. And that's what happens at a chasna. A chasna is the celebration of the ability to be mamid doros, to be able to create something that's going to be bigger than the couple itself. How do you become bigger than something? How could something surpass the limitations of the thing that's creating it? How can we, in a certain way, surpass HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And now I'm saying really crazy things. But it's true. In a certain sense, that's the conversation that Rabbi Akiva had with the heretic who asked him, who's greater, man or God? In a certain way, man is greater because Hashem makes the body imperfect and then we give ourselves a bris milah and we perfect the body. Is that to say that man is greater? Is man greater than Hashem? Kedoshim tiyu, ki kedosh ani Hashem lokeichem. Yachul kamoni, maybe you can be just like me. Says the Medrash, no, Hashem is still greater. But in a certain way, like we learned yesterday, Rabbi Shimon had the ability to make decrees and Hashem listened to them. He demands of Hashem. It's unbelievable. Mafli lasa is a pella. That the son could exist in a way that's greater than the father and the source from where it comes. It's a pella. Vigiloi osa nakudahi, second to last paragraph in the right column. Even though we don't really understand, right, the Zohar, Kabbalah, but there's an aspect of what? Of the heart getting it. That my heart grasps it. That's what Rav Baruch HaMezhbuz was meant when he put the Zohar on his heart and he said, I know you and you know me. In the way of the Lev. Right? Lev Aleph, Liba. Gematria lag. Unlike Ba'omer, there's a tfisas halev that goes beyond. Venucha lizakos lechiusan, vargoshos mitziusan, ba'umka deliba. Again, an ability to live with it and to feel it and to experience it in the heart. Bishas Torah v'tfila b'chias v'slavas. Okay. V'ya'an shigilei, bottom paragraph. V'ya'an shigilei rishon bar yochai hu b'nekuda mukazu. So for Rabbi Shimon's whole thing was what? Was showing that when I die, I'm going to give such chiyus to the world. So guess what happens with each passing generation? In a certain sense, the chiddush gets greater. The distance gets greater. But the fact that we're still feeling the chiyus makes it even a greater pella, makes it even a greater giloy, which explains why, again, you have every type and every stripe of Jew going to Meiron, on Lag BaOmer, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. What do they have to do with Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hai? If you're looking for a party, there's other good parties in Tel Aviv. You don't have to go to Meiron, Dafkan Lag BaOmer. What's the attraction? What's pulling Jews in that way? It's the strangest thing. But that's the Chiddush of Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hai. That's the Mafli Lasos. That's the Pella. That's the wondrous nature of what's happening. Okay? Good. V'amru Chazal, I think you have a fancy sitter. Fancy sitter here. I think you have a regular sitter here. You have Sephardic? How fancy is it? Has fancy stuff in it?
Fancy sitter.
Just give me a regular sitter for a second. No, you know what? Forget it for now. It's gonna be too. It's too late, and I'm not clear on it. And it's too complicated. Forget it. It's okay. I was going to show you something in one of the brachos of Kriyat Shema, but I'm going to have to explain a couple of steps to even say something which I'm not even 100% sure about. So let's finish the piece. Okay, last but not least, one more Gemara. There's a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, Kuf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, the story of Rabbi Akiva and his boat. Tanya Omar Rabbi Gamliel Parachas Haisi Mahalich Bisvina. Veraisi, one time I was traveling on a boat and I saw another boat that was Nishbra, that was shattered into pieces. Vahisi Mitstar al Tamil Chacham Shaba. And I knew that there was a great sage who was on that boat, and I was worried that he's gonna drown. Umanu, and who was the Talmud? Who was that Talmud Chacham on the boat? It was Rabbi Akiva. Strange Gemara. And when Gamaliel says, I was traveling, I was out on the water, I saw a boat that was capsized, the boat was shattered, right? A big wave came and broke the boat to pieces, I saw a Talmud Chacham go overboard, I was worried for his life, and who was that Talmud Chacham? It was Rabbi Akiva. U'kashalisi le'abashta, when I made it to dry land, bav yashav adam lefanai behalacha. And all of a sudden, one day, yeah, in walks Rabbi Akiva. In walks Rabbi Akiva. He made it back, covered in seaweed. Yeah, he walks into the Beis Medrash. I said, Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing here? How did you survive? Amarti lo bini, mi halcha. Who lifted you up? How did you, right? I saw you mamish being pulled under. How did you come back up? Look what happens. Amarli, Rabbi Akiva responded, daf shel svina nizdamna li. A plank from the boat appeared to me. A plank of the boat appeared to me. V'chol gal v'gal sheba alai nanesi lo roshi. And every gal, what's a gal?
A
wave. Every wave that came by, nanesi lo roshi, I ducked my head. I hung on to that piece of wood. This is the mashal of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. For Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba. Right, the Torah is called what? An Eitz Chaim, a tree of life. For those who hold on to it. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner gave a mashal. Imagine being shipwrecked. And now all you have is this one plank of wood to hold on to for dear life. That's how we have to hold on to Torah. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's exactly how I survived. I grabbed onto a broken piece from my boat, a daf shel svina, and as the waves came by, I ducked my head and held on tight, and I rode it out. Until eventually I survived. What did you say? Who didn't help Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Gamaliel? Why didn't he jump in and try to save him? I don't know, I guess it was too dangerous. It's true, maybe this is an answer to the famous question in Halacha, should a person put himself into a suffix sakana to try to save someone else? Do I have to risk my life to try to, if someone else is definitely going to die, right? Now obviously he didn't definitely die, but he was shocked to see him, he thought he was for sure a goner. He was shocked when he saw him walk into the Beis Medrash. How did you survive? I grabbed onto the piece of wood and I survived. What does that mean? Right? Obviously, kol gal v'gal, lag b'omer. Right? Somehow gal is lag. And a lot has been written about this Gemara in Yavamas. But he explains here in a deep way, v'yesh l'farish al pima di'isa b'sefer ha-kadosh ginas egos. It's a deep Kabbalistic sefer. Maybe we can explain as follows. V'yesh beiz in yanu ba'olam, there are two things in the world, binyan utnua. Binyan utnua, what does that mean? Let's see. Binyan nichlal ba'osios yud and hey of the name yud kevav ke. Utnua is osios vav and hey. The world is made up of binyan and tnua. Binyan is yod and hey, tnua is vav and hey. V'chol galgal ha'olam misoveves al sod ha'tnua shu osios vav hey. What does binyan mean? Okay, build, maybe structure. Be a good way to translate in this context. We have to see, saying very deep things. Tnua is what?
Mm-hmm.
Is movement. Right? Okay, so therefore what? So he says, the galgal ha'olam. What does he mean by the galgal ha'olam? You know, he talks a lot about the galgal ha'olam, the Rambam and Hilchos Yisrael Torah. When he talks about all sorts of things that are like, no idea what the Rambam's talking about. Right? The revolutions of the stars. Right? Everyone's trying to figure out, right, what was the Rambam's understanding of the heavenly rotations, of the constellations? Namish, astronomy lesson. That's called the Galgal. Galgal, right? Means the revolutions, the rotations of the heavenly bodies. So he says, Tenua is connected to the letters of Vavhe. Okay. He says, Vavhe is Gematria 11. Okay. That's why he says, if you add up the first... If you count from 1 to 11, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, is Gematria Galgal, 66. Okay. Ayin Sham Dvar of HaKadoshim. Interesting. So what? Sefer Ginas Egos. Mamish Kabbalah Sefer. What does any of this have to do with us? So again, if you remember, how did Rabbi Akiva survive? He said, Kol gal v'gal, every gal that came by, every turn, every gal. So now, what are we saying here? He says, if gal is the gematria of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, which is, again, 11 is vav hey, the last two letters of Hashem's name. Okay, good. V'zeh ramzu chazal b'diktuk l'shon amtar, kol gal v'gal sha'avr alai, ne'anesi lo roshi. You see what he's bringing out of this Gemara? You see how when you see Pnimes HaTorah, you see Gemara totally differently? What did Rabbi Akiva say? With every gal, what did he do? Ne'anesi lashon of tenua. So again, I don't really know what's going on here. But the Ginas Egos is telling us that the world is made up of binyan, arrangement, structure, and tenua, and movement. Tenua, he said, is connected to the letters Vav and Hay of Hashem's name. Vav Hei is Gematria 11. If you add up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, it's Gematria 66, which is Gal. Rabbi Akiva says, how did I survive? How did I survive? With every Gal, I did a Tenua. That's what he says. With every Gal, Nesi, Tenua, I moved my head. What does that mean? So Rabbi Akiva survived with the letters Vav and Hei of Hashem's name. Rabbi Akiva survived with ducking his head. Tnua, what's going on here? So he says on the final page, turn to the last page. Amnam lefi inyanenu. It's a very deep idea, but maybe we can explain based on what we've learned so far. Yesh lefarish maimar niskal el Rish Shimon Bar Yochai. Rish Shimon Bar Yochai was the student of Rabbi Akiva, the main student of Rabbi Akiva. Hu Rabbi Akiva shedarash al kol kotz v'kotz tilei tilin shahalachos. Rabbi Akiva had the ability to see so deep. Rabbi Akiva was able to explain on every coats. Rabbi Akiva was able to read the crowns, right? When you draw Hebrew letters, certain letters have crowns in the Torah, little points on top. Rabbi Akiva was able to extract, to explain mountains of halachos from the kotzim, from the crowns, from the little points on top of the letters. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, shiyarad la'omek tarasa shel rabo, zocha lahamshich sodas ha-Torah, shedarash rabo akol kotz v'kotz. And who is the continuation? Who is the continuation of explaining the deep Torahs of Rabbi Akiva? Is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He also continued to bring out all of these secrets. Remez lebechinas keser elyon, asher ayin lo rasa. What does it mean, the crown? What are the crowns on top of the letters? Right? The points on top of the letters are called crowns. Ksarim, a crown. Keser elyon. Keser elyon. To be able to explain the crown means to explain things that aren't even there. I can read Hebrew letters, right? Beis, Reish, Aleph, Shin, Yud, Tav. Bereishis. It's a word. It means something. There are many explanations. What does it mean to explain the point on top of it? The crown. What's called the crowns. The tagim means the crowns. The crowns of the letters. What does it mean to explain the crowns of the letters? How do you explain a crown? Right? The king, I understand. The crown just sits on top of his head. It's beyond his mind. It's seeing beyond the head. That's what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon were all about. It's ayin lo rasa, it's seeing beyond seeing. Uvachol shana biyom lag ba'omer, yesh hashba v'zoris chadasha shel terasa de Rishon bar Yochai, shu omek Torah Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, lag ba'omer, a celebration of Torah Rishon bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva, is an celebration of the crowns of Torah. That which is beyond the mind, beyond the eyes, again, beyond one's mind's eye. Being able to understand something that you can't see. Which answers the question, why does the Arizal talk about worlds that no one's ever seen? The Nevi'im wouldn't talk about them, because Nevi'im were talking about what they could see. What they could see with a seeing. Rishon bar Yochai is the world of Shmiya, of being able to see that which is heard. Amish, a very deep idea. So he says in the second to last paragraph, V'zeh merumas b'darash Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva meant when he said that when those waves came by, b'chol gal v'gal. You know what that means? That means every year on Lag Ba'omer, with each gal, with each lag ba'omer, my Talmud Rishon bar Yochai reveals more to the world. Ne'anesi lo roshi. I'm able to move my head, to duck my head, pashim shah, through the waves. Perish, what does that mean? Hinani mashpia mila eila hashpa mechudeshes shal torasi, shu toras hasod. Sho'ole lamala meharosh. You hear what happens? Rabbi Akiva says, with each gal, with each lag ba'omer, I lower my head. What do you mean I lower my head? It means my mind, my ability to grasp things intellectually, gets pushed down because now there's a new crown. or something even higher. Again, a revelation of something which goes so far beyond the natural mind. And every year on Lag BaOmer, it becomes stronger. Sha'ola l'mala rosh, left column, last couple of lines. V'yesh l'hosif to Rabbi Akiva hu miloshan ikvim. Rabbi Akiva is the lashon of the akev, which means the heel. V'ashpa misra b'ma'od b'ikvisa de Meshicha. And that's why when we're in the what? We're in the generation that corresponds to the lowest Jews, the heel. It's dafka in our generation that what? That there's more and more revelation. This is the world of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon. V'lezeh daik Rabbi Akiva hu shamar al kol gal v'gal each lag ba'omer. My head gets lowered down. And my heel, so to speak, is lifted higher and higher. Final paragraph. V'zos omeres Rabbi Akiva al yedei talmido rishon bar yochai zach l'hamshich torasso ad sof kol adoros. V'zeu al yedei giloi nekudas hamafli la'asos. And chaver, this is the wonder of lag ba'omer. Shulamalam and Hagbala, that we're experiencing things that are so far beyond, and the irony becomes more pronounced with each passing year, that we become more and more limited in terms of our abilities. We think that we're on a lower generation than those who came before us. We have less kochos. My grandfather's ability to learn, my great-grandfather's ability to learn, my great-great-grandfather's ability to learn and to daven and to serve Hashem, he seemingly had much greater kochos. I'm much more begvul. I'm much more limited. And yet, I have access in our time, Tavshin Ayin Tes, to things that they didn't have access to. That's the Mafli Lasos. That's the Chiddush. Va'anan v'chinas Eidus Chaim al Hemshich, Ze Kenoda Shari v'Rishim Yochai, in Yanor the Baal Shem Tov, and his Talmidim, which gets stronger and stronger, Ad Bias Yanon, until Mashiach should come in Her B'Yameinu. We should be zochet to understand this Chiddush, this Pella. But again, there's a big difference between a Jew who learns 100 and a Jew who learns 101. When you learn 101, you're making a chasana with Hashem. You're getting together. It's a shidduch. It's you and Hashem. If you're just learning by yourself, it's a dangerous thing. When you learn with Hashem, it's mamish the lev aleph. Bringing in that aleph has a hashpa on the lev, and that's mamish the good feelings that we have, the chiyus that we get from Rishon Baruch. Okay, shkoyach.